The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
She's the first one to actually talk ball, like sit in the room with the fellas. Where's that come from, knowing a game like that?
I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Pittsburgh. So they don't know this. Yeah. Deshaun Jackson's from Pittsburgh.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite the skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot of take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
I had to run to the gas station, grab me some of these Celsius, right?
You got a deal on these 4-for-1?
Jerry, can you hear me? I was asking what flavors you want. They got the watermelon.
Is that a package deal?
No, because I like the peach. You want 2 grapes? I'm going to get the peach.
They got a grapefruit.
Right.
And these help you burn fat, too.
And it's essential energy, so essentially it's good for you. Ain't no preservatives in it.
Really, they got anything you want. They got an orange pomegranate, too.
Gerald.
Yeah.
There's 2 more of these. 2 more games. That's a double dribble. It's a double dribble. This game, and then we on? Okay.
What's up,
you good? All right. Y'all on next? Okay.
On this episode of I Am Athlete, I don't know what episode it is, but we're having a legendary conversation with one of the best in the business. When you think about a communicator, when you think about sports, there's some dynamic voices. American media personality on multiple shows right now on Speak on FS1. Welcome to the show, Joy Taylor.
And why you didn't say my teammate?
Oh, and also Shady McCoy's teammate. Let's start there.
Hold on, let me go.
We excited.
Right
here.
Shady teammate.
Yes.
Well, I've been doing some Googling, and I told you earlier, I'm not a fanboy, but I am a fanboy. Anyway, you've worked with some of the hardest people to work with. Skip and other names I ain't gonna go down the list.
Shannon.
And
Shady!
I wanna know.
Hold on.
This is a two-part question. I wanna know, what is your zen to work with all these people like Shady? And how is Shady like? How is he as a coworker?
Well, first part, I don't know. I don't really have a problem with working with people. I just try to meet people where they are. And when you're dealing with big personalities, Skip, Shannon, Colin, and I've worked with lots of other big personalities as well. I don't want to go to work frustrated or annoyed with the people that I'm around. So I just meet people where they are. This is who you are. Cool. I'm going to be how I am. As long as we're professional, what's the problem?
Right.
Doing a daily show is a lot. So it's a lot. It is. So I can't imagine coming in irritated to be around someone. It's like coming home and being mad. Like, I'm good. So meeting people where they are and presenting as yourself every day and just treating people with respect, respecting what they do, makes it much easier to me, especially dealing with big personalities. Second part, yes. Shady.
My baby.
Be honest to you. Yeah. Listen.
Be honest. This is what we do in this podcast. We keep it honest.
Yeah. Keep it real?
Keep it real.
Like she said, keep it real?
No, Shady is honestly one of the easiest people I've ever worked with. No bullshit.
What?
Shady is never in a bad mood.
You know,
no, he's not. He's never in a bad mood.
He's super low maintenance because he don't know that he could be high maintenance yet. Loki, I be encouraging him.
Don't tell her he could be high maintenance though.
She's my OG though.
You don't have to do that all the time. I'm trying to turn him into a monster. He is really easy to work with. He's happy all the time. He's really not trying to, for real, argue. As soon as stuff actually starts to get tense, Shady's like, no, I'm good. Anyway, where are we going for dinner?
Right.
Just change it up. Happened at dinner the other night.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
We started getting tense and he was like, no. So Shady's actually very easy to work with. I feel like he's easy to work with.
Wow. Well, look, got you on the show. Let's talk about you. When you do this type of work, right, the way I look at it is like, what's your seat? How do you define your seat? And it's interesting for us as athletes transitioning into TV, we kind of know our seat. Oh, you're going to give the player's perspective. I feel like women in media, you guys are host. Sit back, put the men in position. And I don't know what your seat is, but can you define your seat for us and then explain kind of like your journey, where you started, where you're at today, how you got there? Did you have to fight to get to this position? Feel good about where you're at? Is there more meat on the bone?
Well, that was my seat for a long time. I was a host, a moderator, hosted with Colin, but obviously it was Colin's show. And now my seat is the same as everyone else on the shows.
Yep.
And that was always my goal, to get to a point where I wasn't teeing up other people for their opinion, which is a great role to do and a powerful role to be in and an important role, but that's not what I wanted to do. So when I got in the business 15 years ago, long time ago, this wasn't a thing. It was YouTube, but it wasn't what it is now. Twitter wasn't what it is now. You didn't have Instagram lives. You didn't have all these platforms and podcasts and ways to really express yourself and be a personality and give your opinion. It was really just the opinion shows on the biggest networks and radio. Mm. And I always loved radio because it was the original format to talk, which I wanted to do. I really never wanted to be a reporter. I never wanted to be a hardcore journalist because I hold them in a special place. Like, I think if you're a journalist, you have a really specific role in society, even as a sports journalist, because you're supposed to be unbiased. Mm. Like, you're just supposed to give us the information, tell us the news. You're not putting your spin on it. Now, that's changed a lot, but there are still some of them out there. And I have that a lot of respect for that position in our space. So I never really wanted to be that. I'm spoiled. I like sitting in a studio. I'm not into all this weather stuff, so like the sidelines. It's exciting, and you're a part of history, but that's never what I wanted to do. So for me, I knew that the way to get into that side of the business at that time was to do radio, because that was the long format platform, and that's how I started. So I started interning in radio. I was part-time producer in radio, and then moved up as an executive producer, and then eventually got an opportunity to host a radio show in Miami. So that was how I started in the business, and that's why I got in on that side.
Now, so we worked together, obviously. We talked about that. And I'm going to be honest. So she's like my OG on the media space. Right,
like how we do in ball. Explain that.
Like, in football, for the viewers, for football, there's OGs like that put their time in before you. You're a young rook. So now I'm with Fox, but speak, I'm a rookie, and Joy's like the vet. So there's times I might ask her a little question like, yo, can I do this, can I do that? Or how should I say this? And then she talked about like, I'm low maintenance because I'm thinking of myself as a rookie, where she can get away with stuff. Look, I ain't coming to work today, such and such, where I can't do that yet. But I wanna give her flowers because I'm gonna be honest, as men, right? When we talk on football, you know, if let's say your girlfriend or your mom, right? Because your mom, I know your mom very well, she's a football lady.
Right.
The football game's on and you see a play and she see a play. She see it differently than you see it.
For sure.
You're like, man, what?
Right.
Because you think your opinion's right. So with her, I gotta be honest, she's the first woman, right, that actually, I remember listening to her takes. We in like a production meeting, and let's say the topic is Aaron Rodgers, because that's always the topic, or Cowboys. And I'm sitting like, dang.
Yeah.
She knows what she's talking about. Right. You remember what I told you when I got with her?
Yeah.
I said, yo, she's the first one to actually talk ball, like sit in the room with the fellas. So that was, I want to give you your flowers for that. Two questions I got. One is, where does that come from? Because most people would say, oh, well, her brother was a freaking, Jason Taylor was he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Is it from that? Or where does that come from, knowing a game like that?
Well, thank you, Shady. That's very nice to say. I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Pittsburgh. So they don't know this.
Yes.
Deshaun Jackson's from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
He from Pittsburgh. Yo, people don't know that. You're
from Pittsburgh. No, from Pittsburgh.
I'm from L.A.
From the hill.
I'm talking like, DJ, where you at? Like,
yo,
Pittsburgh.
Yo.
Like,
Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson
in that type of neighborhood.
He got more family in Pittsburgh. People don't know that. So all the viewers out there, it's L.A. Cousins, cousins, that. You boy from Pittsburgh. Anyway, go ahead, Jordan.
He do spend a lot of time. I'm outnumbered, look like, on this one, but
I'm sorry, Pac. No, I am. They wrapped the babies in terrible towels at the hospital. It's like a cult.
That wasn't right.
It's not your choice. I grew up around women who just talked about sports. My grandmother, my aunts, every woman around me talked about sports, watched sports, and the game is on. We're watching the game. It's like, it's not a question like, what are you doing on Sunday? What are you doing on Sunday? Steal a game is on. Like, what do you mean?
Right.
You weird or something? It was really genuinely not my experience growing up as a woman to not watch sports, to not know what's going on with the teams, to not care. I played sports growing up, so I had that competitive passion in me already. I played basketball, soccer, volleyball, and I ran track, in college. So that, like, being, I was really a jock. Like, I liked being in the gym, not so much anymore. I'm a Pilates girl now, but that was just in me really from birth, considering where I grew up and what I just did as a child. I have brothers too and a big family. Anyone who has a big family knows yelling is a form of affection.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just how we communicate.
Physical
so I think, yeah, I think all of those things just played a role in that.
Now he talked about, like, the traditional way with females, they always get the host. The host, and then they pass it to the ball players or the guys. It's very few females, right? You might be the only black opinionist on TV. Why is it not
is
more
that,
of them?
Is it?
Come on, man, I know what I'm talking, you know what I mean? I do this.
Remember we had this conversation with Kerry when we had Champion on here about how hard it is for them.
But why is
and that would be my question, like, how hard is it for you?
He just took it back.
Hold on, Pat. If I ask the question, don't ask the same question. For future reference, sorry about that.
Look, I haven't looked through this. They got a whole blooper tape that I have to agree to. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
I gotta stop.
Yo, wait.
How hard?
Check his weed. Damn. Sorry, Joy. Sorry about the answer. Whatever question, it's the same one. It's whatever one. That's my brother, though. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What's the question?
Why is it not more?
I mean, I think visibility is one thing. You know, you have to see things to believe they're possible. Mm. So we know representation and how important that is for everyone.
Yeah.
For me, Jamel was the first one at all to really be there giving an opinion, having a show, and the first black woman. She really made me believe it
Jamel
was
Hill,
possible.
Right?
Jamel Hill,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
She made me believe it was possible because everyone else on television that was just talking about sports, giving their opinion, was a man. Mm. And so for her to have that space and have her show and it be as big as it was really important for me. And then there was just a gap for a long time. And it's not just for women wanting to get into that space and be in that space, because there's plenty of women who want to give their opinion about sports. Yeah. And I keep saying opinion because it's different. It's a different job.
It is.
It's a different job than doing play-by-play. It's different than doing sidelines. It's different than being a moderator. you get asked a question, you answer the question just the same as everybody else at the table. It's a different job. I think it's hard for executives to see women in that space also. So that's why, so I feel a lot of responsibility, honestly, to not f it up, because there's just not a lot of opportunities in that space.
Well, let me ask you this, because I had an opportunity also to be on FS1 and sit with you at times for an entire year. And I was blown away as well, not just because of like your opinions, but I mean, you're just super talented, right? There's a skill and an art to it. And I remember having some conversations with you offline. And long story short, I was like, oh, like she had to sacrifice a lot. She had to fight a lot to get here, right? So can you maybe put, like, you know, right? Because you're sitting here, and I'm gonna throw this question out here for you right now, so you can marinate on it and ask and answer it later. But do you feel like you made it, right? You're here now, you went to radio 15 years. Now your opinion matters, it's equal. What did you have to sacrifice? A lot of times people see us make it to the league. A lot of times people see us sitting here, but they don't know what we had to do to sacrifice. So what I'm trying to get you to do is tell us, you know, put me in a room where you had to push back on the executive and say, no, I'm going this way. I'm good enough to do that.
Well, I could tell you specific stories for the next 3 hours, but I think for me, I always knew exactly what I wanted to do. So you're gonna get told no a lot.
Wow.
Sometimes it's not even gonna be no. It's like, we're not even listening to this. Like, this is not even an option for you. Yeah, like, this is not even an option for you. You're not good enough. We don't do that. The opportunity's not there. You don't know how hard this is. I've been literally told, I don't know how hard it is to do a daily show. While I was working on a daily show, I'm like, you mean the show I currently work on? I don't know how hard it is to do that. The same meeting I'm in every day, the same wake up call, same time. How would I not know how hard it is to do the show I work on? You have to constantly reaffirm that you are good enough, that you belong there, and then always prove it. So I would just always say you gotta do twice the work to get half the opportunity. But that, to me, the mentality I've always had on it is that just gonna make me better. So that's why I'm excellent. Because I had to be. I couldn't be average, I couldn't be okay, I couldn't be late, I couldn't complain, I couldn't say no. Now I do.
Right.
But you have to do that because you can't give people the opportunity to doubt you. So that, I think, is what the sacrifice is. It's a lot of pride sacrifice. You gotta eat a lot of shit. You gotta listen to a lot of jokes. You gotta ignore little comments, little microaggressions.
And that kind of leads into my next question. What do you feel like defines you, and where do you get your fire from? Like, growing up, you know, being Jason Taylor's, you know, younger or older sister?
Younger.
Obviously, he's a legend in my eyes, one of the best DNs that ever played the game. I loved how he played the game. So I'm sure that, you know, the fire comes from probably your background and your history. But, like, what do you feel like definitely defines you in this business, with you being a young black female and this being a hard industry to even work in around nothing but dominant men?
Well, I grew up in an abusive household. So I think I have a innate fear of relying on anyone else.
That's deep.
For survival.
Right.
So I sort of apply that to, maybe in an unhealthy way, to everything that I do
in
life.
We all feel like we all come from it, right?
Right. So in my career, I always have this anxiety that it's not enough, or that it's not good enough, or that it could all just go away.
Right.
So I never really get complacent. It's not that I don't take the moments to enjoy things or be in the moment or appreciate accomplishments, but it's very fleeting, because it's like, and I think athletes particularly can relate to that. Like, you reach the top and then you're like, all right, you gotta do it again. What's next? Next season, next training camp, gotta stay healthy, gotta get back at it, get back in the gym.
Right.
So I think that is what keeps me in that space, is just that constant anxiety that I'm all I have, even if I'm not. Like, I know I very much rely on other people. I've not afraid to ask for help, all of those things, but it's just that is, I think that's an anxiety that doesn't really leave you, or hasn't left me yet. But I don't know if I want
to
lose it
it's
either.
It's a great trait to have, though. It's a great trait.
Why do you say that?
I mean, we all come from that. I feel like when I say we all come from that, I feel like I can speak for the three men in this room that's sitting at this table, because, you know, everybody might have came up different privileges, but we all came from really nothing. I know my parents didn't really have too much, so I was the breadwinner out the family. And I knew my dad had me to make it to the league, because he ain't making it, and he wanted a kid to make it. So I'm putting all his struggles and all the faults and the trauma that I saw my dad go through, and it's invested into me. And now when I go out there, I got to prove my folks right. Because if I don't prove my folks right, that's a representation of me. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So we all carry that, you could say, stress, baggage, trauma, hurt, fear. Like, what are we going to do next? Right. And I ain't, it's either me or you, and I ain't going.
Right.
I'm trying to feed my family. So.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
I think that's the mentality we all have.
Lamar Jackson made the best business decision.
I blame the Ravens for him not going out there. If they wanted him out there, they should have paid him. They didn't pay him, and that's their own fault.
LeBron James is not only a top five active player right now, he's number one.
All right. Brandon, come on.
LeBron James comes in, he makes everyone better.
He's not making that team drastically better with his talent. They're a horrible team. They're constructed horrible. Jesus himself cannot fix that organization. It is a problem.
Athletes are some of the healthiest people on the planet. Adopt a lifestyle with an all-new HOA Plus app.
What's up, athletes? It's your girl, Maya.
HOA Plus delivers daily workout classes with real coaches tailored just for you. We are making it easier to train, fuel, and recover where you are.
You made it.
Live like an athlete. Join the tribe on HOA Plus.
2011, actually playing with your brother, went to McLean Hospital for 3 months. And when I would peel back the layers and get to the root of something, I would write. And one of the things that I wrote when I figured out, like, pretty much like the core of my behavior, I wrote, I won't say the whole thing, but my pain, my sadness gives me my strength. My strength ruined my mind, body, and soul. So I say that to ask you, going through what you went through growing up, how'd you get through it? Did you embrace therapy? What did you learn from it? What do you do now?
Well, we didn't do therapy when I was growing up. Therapy was like, you gotta go to therapy, you're like really crazy. So that wasn't an option, really. The first time I went to therapy was after my parents' divorce, and it was like court-mandated therapy, and it wasn't very good. It did not give me a good good launch into the therapy space. I mean, growing up, when you're in a space like that, you just have to kind of internalize everything. So you cope however you can. For me, I would just suppress a lot. I poured a lot of myself into sports, honestly. I always wanted to be out of the house. So I know a lot of people can relate to that. Like, I don't want to be home. I'm going to be in the gym. I'm going to go work out. Because that's an easy excuse that also parents will give you. Like, oh, okay, like they're not here because they don't want to be around me. They're at the gym because they're working hard.
Right, right.
So for me, I had to be a support system because I wasn't the oldest, but I was the oldest kid in the house. So all of those things kind of carried over into me as an adult, obviously. So, went through it like everybody does. I was cool until I wasn't. But I really didn't start getting deep, deep into therapy until my mid-20s. And now I think therapy is a very important part of life. And I'm glad that we talk about it so openly, particularly in the Black community, because there's so much stigma attached to it. And I really wish we would stop talking about it as mental health, because it still makes people feel a little...
Stigma.
Right, but...
It's taboo. It's uncomfortable.
Your brain, your emotions, all of those things are in your body. It's just health. If your brain doesn't work, nothing else works. It's the most important part of your body, really. Your brain and your heart. And all of those things are intertwined. We talk about therapy. If you bust your knee up, you're going to go to a physical therapist.
Right.
So you can walk again.
Yep.
Your elbow's funny. You're going to go see the doctor. Your throat's messed up. All these things we have no problem talking about. Oh, I'm not feeling well. I'm having headaches. I'm going to go see the doctor. Oh, okay. My foot's messed up. I'm going to go see the doctor. Oh, I don't know. I'm feeling a little sad. I think I'm going to go see the doctor. It's your health.
That's right.
So... I'm glad that we're in a space now where we can talk about it. For me, I did not have someone to talk to about it for a long time. So it would just kind of, I was suicidal when I was very young, as most people tend to do when they have no outlet. And I really, in that moment, I think I was around 12 years old, when I got to that space, that's really when everything kind of turned into that motivation space that I was talking about, where I was like, there's no way I'm going out like this. Like, I'm f-ing amazing. And this can't be my story. I can't let this person and their dysfunction write my story.
Yeah.
And not that, I don't know, that's a healthy way to handle it. Kept me alive, so I guess there's that. Right. But therapy, I think, is very important. I think it's very important for people to talk about and make it feel normal as going to the dentist, which I guess we also avoid. But, going to the dentist, going get your eyes checked, it's part of your health. You can't live without your brain working properly, your emotions working properly. Going through that as a young person really put me in a space where I needed it, and I'm very glad I got it.
I wonder why the Black community, we shy away from that when we got younger kids and don't talk about mental health. Like, I seen my dad get killed right in front of me. I've never took a class or anything until I went to McLean. But once I got rich, it was cool to like, all right, let me go call this motherfucker and cuss him out for like 15 seconds. These motherfuckers ain't gonna call me back. Like, mentally, like, would sound crazy as hell probably to some people right now. But like, we didn't have and my question to you guys, like, why don't we have an outlet as younger black people? Like, and the white community is open. Like, it's okay to go and say, hey, mom, I don't understand this.
We don't got time to...
And it costs.
We don't got, costs, but we also don't have time
Medicaid,
to show
weakness. Medicaid will pay for it.
When we show weakness where we come from, a lot of us, it's not every... The black experience is different for a lot of people, but a lot of us, when you show weakness, that equals death.
Nah, that ain't... I don't really
stay,
think that.
Stay with me. Stay with me here, though.
I got a lot of killers in my neighborhood think that about, cry every day. Smoke you right now. And start crying right now in front of you.
After they smoke you?
First off, a lot of this tough stuff that we talk about in some of the aggression is actually weakness. It's actually us crying out for help a lot of times. Man, I'm angry, I'm mad. No, you said.
Right.
You understand? But what I was trying to say, and it could be different, I could be off, but if you show weakness in the hood, how you feel? Sad,
What you mean you say? Even in the locker room in football, yeah. I'm hurt. My ankle hurt. What? You better go. You can't.
I disagree.
You know what I'm saying? I'm playing on a mental aspect.
Like, not as, like, I'm playing football. Oh, well, I don't want to practice today.
Just mentally.
I'm just saying, like, mentally, I'm
going to do some
like,
shit.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I'm not saying as far as body, oh, we got a game. I don't want to practice on Monday because I don't feel
But like, you're conditioned. All I use that because we're conditioned.
He said we're conditionally, we're set like that. We're supposed to be tough. We're supposed
but like,
to be
I'm mass pain. I'm an emotional person.
There's nothing wrong with being emotional, too.
If me and you got a problem, and I feel like it's hurt me, I might break down crying.
But you're like, gonna hold it in. You gonna hold it in to talk to me as me being your brother though.
But what I'm saying is, of course I'm gonna talk to you, but I'm saying I might cry.
Right.
Like that's just me. Right. Like
there ain't nothing wrong with
that. That don't make me soft.
No, it don't.
No. No, you're right.
But a lot of cats feel that way though.
You never got in a fight, and before you fight, you about to cry?
Yeah, I'm always crying.
Nah, so, what about say you soft?
But what about like growing up when you was a kid, if you crying, like, you know, dads be like, man, hey, stop crying, stop that soft.
Right.
So is that you mean like that?
That perfect example. I got twins, boy and girl, Ziggy and Z. Ziggy's the girl. And this is what society does, right? And how we condition each other. They both go outside and they play, they both fall down. Got a family picnic. Yeah. All the family gonna run to my little girl Ziggy and say, get up, okay, baby. Ask her, you okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm validating her feelings. It's okay to cry.
Right.
What we do to the boy? What they gonna do to my son?
Get up, you all right? Get your ass up.
Get up.
For sure.
But what we doing is we're conditioning our boys to mass pain and telling them that it's not okay to cry.
Man, I got a mass pain because I'm the fucking provider.
Yeah. That's the problem.
You talking about?
That's the problem, though. That's the problem.
Why is it a problem, though?
Let me tell you
So
something.
You want the woman?
Hold on.
You can still provide and still share your emotions.
Let me ask you this. You gonna date a that's broke?
The you talking about? You smell me good. You better be about your business.
I mean.
You better be about your business.
Going on,
man, come on. That's like my daughter
walk.
Bro.
You know
what I mean. Yeah. What you think? You know.
No money to take you on a date. Nothing. He got shit. He can't even pull up and take you out to dinner.
Okay,
no, man, we like nice things, bro. And like, as a female, that's what I'm teaching my daughter, too.
But,
you better like nice things.
You could, there's nobody, like, I don't mean this in a, demeaning way. There's nothing that a man can do for me but love me.
Right.
I can get myself where I need to go.
She made more than me.
I put.
You know all that.
I got a roof over my head. Like I don't. So to answer that question, I'm not gonna date somebody who's broke. But if you got a job and something you care about, that's fine. I have a thought on this though.
Watch out, shoot me. I have a thought.
Yeah, don't encourage that.
You heard what she said.
It has a lot to do, honestly. Again, we don't have enough time to get into all of it, but the patriarchy is the answer for like most of the questions that we have. And it goes all the way back to really to slavery. The black family was broken up. Black men were.
It's about to get deep.
Not a lot. I mean, this is what it is, though. We don't like to talk about history. And history is really the reason why we are all here today, why the situation is what it is today, why there is a problem with the black community with these particular things.
Right.
And why the white community has family structures that can allow men to go to therapy for a few months if they're not feeling well. And that's not provided in our community. So much deeper, complex answer to that. But I think we can't fix break the whole system.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with it.
Wait, was you was married before, right?
Yeah.
Was he broke?
No.
Answer your question?
No.
She already answered that question.
I do want to ask you, this is important for me, because like, because you're very attractive, how do you balance being attractive and sexy, but also like being respected? Because certain outfits be like, oh man, she look good, but then the corporate level is like, man, we don't want that. So how do you juggle that?
I mean, look, it's not my fault I look like this. I mean, it's kind of my fault. But
I'm talking about the attractive, sexy.
No. You know I'm saying, like, it's you are what you are. Like, if you're an attractive person, if you're fast, you run fast. I'm an attractive person. I work on television. It's an aesthetic. It's a visual. It's a visual medium.
I need more than that because.
Like, okay, I'll answer the question. It's earlier in my career, I was much more conscious of what I put out there, what I wore to certain things. Mm-hmm. how I presented myself because I didn't want that to be the impression that I'm like just using what I look like to get ahead or whatever. I'm only here because of what I look like. I never was only there because of what I looked like. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would just hire supermodels. Like, there are people whose whole career is to mm-hmm. present beautifully. Mm. They get paid a lot of money to do that. Right. They're called models. You would just hire a model then. What do I need to be here for? So you do have to actually do the job as well. Well, I mean, I can't model, but I'm saying they're not doing my job. So if the requirement was only to look good, you would just hire a model. That's what models do, they model. So I will say though, like as I've gotten older, as my career has advanced, as I have a longer resume and reputation, I don't like to have to be one thing. Mm. Like if I go to the beach, I'm wearing a bikini. If I wanna share a bikini picture, I'll do that. Now my whole feed isn't gonna be bikini pictures, but I'm a woman, I'm at the beach. I look good and I'm sharing a photo. If you have a problem with that, I probably shouldn't work for you. Like, mm. I don't know, it's just, I can't pretend to be something other than I am, and I don't want to at this point. Right. And at this point in my life, I'm not going to. So I think it's a balance. You have to be conscious of it. I am conscious of it. I won't pretend like I'm not. And I have many, many women friends in the business, and it's really all the same conversations. Like, do you do too much? Is this too much? And I gotta be honest with you, after a while, it gets kind of exhausting to placate to what feels good to right. men. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know? Good. Like, I exist for what makes me happy. If it happens to be attractive to men or do something for a man, that okay. Mm-hmm. But I have a mirror, so like, a million comments about how good a look is not gonna change my self-esteem. So I think it's okay to be sexy. It's okay to be attractive. If you're wearing something seductive and you wanna post that, that shouldn't be a problem. But for me, I wanted my resume to be above reproach, that wasn't the only conversation about me.
One of my favorite parts of our show and our format, when we have people on, it's like, yo, we want to talk about you, highlight you, give you your flowers, but we also want you to join the conversation, right?
She's Queen Petty, that's her name.
Oh, she's Queen, you Queen Petty?
Shannon gave me that nickname.
What? Oh, okay, well, what's that?
So if you're going to get messy, because that's her lane.
You like to get messy?
I don't think I'm a messy person.
I like to get messy.
I don't think I'm a messy person.
Who's messier, because you work with both of us?
Oh, you.
Yeah.
You are.
I'm messier?
Than me?
No, yeah. Him. He's messy.
Oh, I mean, no, we're not talking about professionally. He's talking about like on air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're real messy. Like messy, messy.
I like
that. She like more like right at you.
Right.
Like she has some takes with Aaron Rodgers. She going crazy on it.
And that's why
I love that though.
That's what I want to transition to. It's my favorite part of the show is the conversation. Let's talk a little ball, right? Lamar Jackson. What should he do?
I mean, right now, he should hold out for all the money he can. The market is the market.
The market is the market.
And what's the market?
Deshaun Watson.
Yesterday's price.
It's at least.
Today's price.
You played with him. What you think?
That's your boy?
What I think. I done told him what I think. I'm going to, you know, just sit back and chill. You done proved yourself already. Why rush back and play on an injury that ain't even 100%? Now, if you got that bag, then go out there and risk it. But why I'm gonna go out there and risk it?
You think that pay him, Ravens, from being there?
Honestly, bro, he deserve it, but I don't think they willing to give him the Deshaun Watson money because I feel like Deshaun Watson getting paid like that after damn near not playing a year and a half, like Cleveland was desperate. So they went out and did something not even knowing what they did, and they up the market for a lot of other people. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like in my perspective, I don't think they are, bro. I think they're gonna franchise. What I'm saying is
he ain't the only one that got paid big money that didn't perform.
It ain't that though.
Denver got paid just as much.
After not playing a damn near a whole year.
Yeah, I'm just saying Deshaun Watson played better than old boy.
You played over there and you've been in like the organization. You've been in there.
Right.
Do you think they can like survive without Lamar Jackson? Like, he run the show over there.
I mean, honestly, I'm just be real as possible because I played with him, and then when he went down, we struggled. You know, I give credit to T. Hunt.
2-4.
Yeah, you know, I give credit to him, but he's not Lamar. Like, once Lamar went down, they had to change up the whole offense.
31st in offense.
You get what I'm saying? Like, Lamar, you got to think. You got to give Lamar his respect because he can run crazy. He don't take hits. He making you miss, and he got a arm out the world. Like, the arm strong as hell.
He's saying that he don't take hits, but he don't get
but
hurt.
Bro, freak injuries. The dude got tackled his knee. Everybody angle like
I'm just hurt. I'm speaking as an owner.
In the pocket. As an owner.
Look at the record he got, too.
But all the quarterbacks get hurt
this year.
He was hurt. All the quarterbacks get hurt, Pat. But all the quarterbacks
get hurt. And he got hurt in the pocket, too.
I mean, I don't
think
I'm just
saying, Joe Burrow got hit 100 times more than
Joe Burrow. He got hurt. He got an ACL.
Joe Burrow
his first year. I'm talking about
that. That don't matter, though. That counts. What you about to say?
I mean, I don't think he'll get it from the Ravens. The Ravens owner already said he hated the Deshaun Watson deal. He came out publicly and said
they're going to franchise him.
We know that the owners were not happy about the fact that the Browns did that.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Somebody's gonna pay him.
But the most in NFL history.
Yep.
But we didn't think.
Tom Brady didn't even got that.
Quick, I'm gonna let her go real quick. But watch this. You say it's crazy, right? Until it happens again and then again, and then that becomes the norm.
No, right. You're right.
You never would have thought somebody got 230.
That's why I ain't like. That's why I ain't like your language. But
that's why it's gonna happen again, bro.
What language?
Cause Joe Burrow about to come up. Justin Herbert gonna come up.
You telling me Joe Burrow is not gonna get more than
said he messed up the market?
Let me take that back. Not messed it up, but I'm just saying for.
He's saying he messed it up for the owner.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Coming off of what he came off of, bro. Like, Cleveland was the only team that was going to do that. No other team was going to do that. They was desperate.
And that's the only thing that mattered.
Out of there, bro.
This is going to kill the conversation, though. Right?
Only one team.
What other quarterback before this draft who fully contract, he always had
Kirk
a foot.
Cousins.
All right, then. So,
I played with him. He was killing in Washington. Back to back. I played with him. They franchise.
He never played a contract that's not been fully guaranteed.
Never. Since he's been.
Do we have an I Am Athlete fact check?
No, that's true.
Hold on,
that is true.
Bro,
let me ask. I don't know.
Hold on, let me just tell you real quick. I play with him. Since I play with him, and since he's got franchise, every year since that has been guaranteed. He was franchised in 2016.
You talking about Kirk?
Yes.
Nobody know how to make money like Kirk.
Nobody.
I'm saying though, right?
Everybody should do it like Kirk.
How long has he been guaranteed? Since 2015?
Yes.
2016?
He had 3 year difference. Either 78 or 80.
Before that.
For guaranteed.
I'm talking about before that.
Oh, yes. Franchise. For
3 years. Like 3 years
franchise. I'm talking about franchise. I'm talking about he actually had a real contract. Yo, 3 years.
You're right.
80 million gone guaranteed.
But franchise is guaranteed too,
bro. But then he did 3 years fully guaranteed because he got
franchised. Exactly.
He did it like 3 times.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
The franchise. I'm talking about every contract that he done signed.
He's also gotten very lucky that he hasn't gotten injured.
Yeah, but like every contract he's signed been fully guaranteed.
I'm with Shady. I think it's possible. Everything's impossible until it happens. And it's already happened with Deshaun.
What you think the Bengals going to do when the number one draft pick that you selected has changed the whole franchise and he goes to Mark, he says, Deshaun Watson is making $230 million.
You got a pen.
What you think I'm going to want? I ain't going to tell you. What you think I deserve?
Exactly. 300.
They're going to get us.
But the only thing that gives me pause about it actually happening, okay. I think that's what Lamar should ask for. That's what I would ask for.
Right.
My only pause about it, first of all, I don't think it'll happen with the Ravens. Like, okay. I think he'll have to leave to get that.
I agree too, though.
I agree with that.
But the only pause about it is these billionaires don't like to set those kind of precedents. Yeah. So after that happens with Deshaun, I really believe they were like, look, the next one that does this,
collusion.
We're coming for you.
Sure.
Like, collusion? Don't make this the standard.
For instance, at the owner meeting, everybody can't go in there. His mom, don't try to get the deal done, not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling B them, why not go and have a fake Brandon go in there, you know, dress up like Brandon, but it's really her. She's sitting beside him.
Damn.
Hey, look, this is the deal, boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? It might be-
A face, he talking about a face.
What's your agent?
Who? Who's your agent?
Drew Rosenhaus. Maybe it might be him.
Hire a method actor.
Can't be Brandon going in there.
Long story short, do you feel like his mom is affecting him?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
If he had an agent,
or
everyone likes to say that, but in this situation, no. If he was at the end of his career, right? He's in year 13.
Yep.
He's trying to get a 1 year deal somewhere. He's trying to get workouts or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you need an agent.
Yep.
It's not that I'm saying you don't need an agent. I have an agent. I'm not against agents. I like having an agent. They do things I don't want to do.
Right.
But if she's going to work as his agent in this situation, this is the most ideal time to do it. Mm-hmm. Because he's going to get paid
regardless.
And it's not like she's look, like, you're going to have a lawyer look over everything. Like, it's not like you just go over there, like.
It's totally different.
That's a great point.
I don't think he's ever had an agent.
No, he's never had an agent.
His mom has been his representation.
Have you ever got paid?
He's the first round.
Wait, how many contracts you had? Watch this. How many contracts you had? He had a lot, right?
Seven or eight.
How many contracts you had? A couple contracts?
Four.
We ain't talking about the money, though, Shady.
No. Hear me out. What was the easiest time you got a deal? What's the easiest? Out of all them contracts you had, what was the easiest money you got? The second contract.
Second contract.
It's the easiest. It's the easiest they want one. You. Yes. So you telling me why he need a different representation for him other than his mom?
He don't.
But what I'm saying is, these owners, you know how they work, bro.
Watch this, though.
You know how the game is.
They want her son.
He said it don't matter, though. I'm going to go back to you.
It don't matter.
Okay, hold on. Why it don't matter to you? And I'm going to tell you why I do.
Because they want the product.
Let me tell you why it don't matter.
Watch this.
Let me tell you why. Because I'm Lamar Jackson. Okay, I just want MVP. I want the best.
Right.
The market is this.
Right.
This is what it is.
Okay.
If I'm free right now,
right,
I can get this. That means this is the market. Right. So now my mom walks in. She says that, or I say that. Right. Don't matter. It don't matter. Right. And now what you do, you sit back and you don't play.
Oh, well.
But we give up the leverage as players. If he don't play, watch what happens.
Okay, listen up.
Listen, you know how many more Lamar Jacksons are going to be?
Hold on, let me hear what Jackson.
So you saying it don't matter because he's one of the hottest quarterbacks. He done numbers for them. He done been with his record, what, at least 80% win?
Right. 78%.
80%?
He got the two highest winning percentages under Patrick Mahomes. Yes, he him.
So your point is saying he's valuable and I got to sign him. Let's not forget.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talking about an agent. Because my man just asked her, is him not having an agent, his mom playing the role of being the agent, messing him up from getting paid?
That's what I asked.
These owners, bro, come on. When they go do them deals with them agents, you don't think they getting kicked back? I looked out for you on this deal, so when it come back around, look out for me on that.
Yeah, them slaps.
It don't matter,
fourth contract with Joyce. What did Joyce say?
All these agents is doing this.
But what did Joy say? When you need to get a workout, that's when
the agents is locked in with these owners and GMs.
Only teams that ain't doing it is the Cleveland, the Bengals, the little league.
You fool.
The big markets, man. You telling me that Jerry Jones is not sitting in the room with the Giants owners, with the Jets owners? Hey, look, man, what y'all think
doing? I think they doing that.
We got the owners, man.
Yeah, they is.
They are.
At the end of the day, though, the quarterback is the most important position on the field, and Lamar Jackson plays it at a high level.
So while
some owners might feel the way that you're saying, and I definitely don't disagree,
right,
somebody wants Lamar Jackson more than they care about his
mom. It only take two first rounders. His ass going to be up right now. We'll find out in a couple of days.
So earlier, I asked you a question, but I said, answer it later. Have you made it?
Forgot you asked me that.
We made it.
I do. I feel like I made it for what I originally set out to do. So I have more I want to do. I have more I feel like I need to do. And I still have that anxiety that I haven't done enough or that it'll all go away or, you know, that I'll fail in some way. No, it won't.
You got it. I feel like you got it.
It won't. But yes, I will say yes. It feels very weird and scary to say that, though, because I'm an aspirational person and I have so much more I want to do. But I do think it's important in life when you get to certain, when you do have certain accomplishments or you reach goals, that you celebrate and appreciate them. Because everything is fleeting, right? Nothing's forever. Everything's going to change. We're a day older than we were yesterday.
Right.
So, I mean, you really got to appreciate moments in life. One of the things I did when the Super Bowl was in Miami in 2020, we were down there with Fox. We had a huge set on the beach and everything. And Super Bowl was really crazy. Like, it's a crazy week. We just came off of it. Parties, there's stuff going on everywhere. You're doing the show. It's very chaotic. It's very easy to get lost in everything that's happening. And, like, it's over before you even realize it. But I was really intentional, like, I'm going to appreciate this moment. I'm not going to really go out. Like, if I go out, I'm not going to drink a lot. Like, I want to really, like, soak in this full circle moment. I went to school in Miami. I started my career there. And now, all these years later, I'm on this massive set on this big show on
What's
Fox.
What's your boy?
I work crazy.
And, you know, I want to appreciate that moment and be present. It's so hard for us to be present especially now, like you get on the phone, people are in your face, there's a lot going on. So yes, I will say I feel like I've made it. And another reason why I feel like I made it is now I feel like I have an obligation to give back, right?
Right.
And if you haven't really accomplished much, what do you have to offer to other people?
Right.
So that I think is an important thing to recognize when you get to a certain level, when you make it to the NFL, when you get your big contract, when you are OG,
I mean,
to give back to other people. So yes, I will humbly say yes, but I feel like I still have a lot to do.
Let me say this. Do you feel like work is a stress reliever for you? And the reason why I'm asking you that is because, going back to what Pac-Man talked about earlier, you know, I lost my dad at an early age, my first year in the league. And if I didn't have football to lean on when I was going through that, like, I think I wouldn't be sitting here in front of y'all face right now. I feel like we go through things in life, and you know, sometimes work is our happy place. So do you feel like work for you, because I know you said you grew up and things were a certain way growing up, do you credit work as like a stress reliever and for you to get everything off your plate and just focus on work and have fun?
Yeah, it definitely is. Especially when you can create an environment where you're working with good people, you know, and you enjoy what you do. Mm-hmm. For me, it definitely is. I like to work. I like being at work. I like pouring into my passion. Mm-hmm. So, I can definitely answer this, because when I first came to Fox, when I first came to LA, I wasn't working. Like, wow. I was working for Fox, but we didn't have a show. Mm. So I went from doing a 4-hour morning drive radio show in Miami to having nothing to do for months at a time, because we hadn't launched Undisputed.
Right.
And I was going nuts. Like, I needed something to do every day. I am a very routine person. Right. I eat the same thing for breakfast. I like to park in the same parking spot every day. I wear sweats to work every day, so I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. Like, I really like the Steve Jobs it. So to not have anything to do or pour myself into was very, it was a stressful time. So yes, I would definitely say that.
What kind of Rolex is that?
This is not a Rolex. We're not there yet. I haven't made it there yet. I haven't made Rolex yet. No, this is an Invicta. My brother gave me this for his wedding.
Love it. Right, thank you.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Appreciate
it. It was great.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class.
Yeah.
And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.